looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life challenges. Oh, why can't I just stick with it? Why can't I change? Why can't I be like that? The frustration that comes with how your brain is wired and the desire to create a new way of thinking is what today's show is all about. Now, when we look at our lives, meaning our lifestyle, what we do every day, what we have, how we feel, our behaviors, and what motivates us, or eek, better yet, what distracts us or interferes with our quote-unquote plan, we're really looking at how our brains are wired. The wiring of our brains comes from knowledge that we've learned, experiences we've had, and how we feel about them, like the beliefs that we created. Well, I've invited Rory Sheehan to join us today as an expert on retraining the brain through hypnotherapy and other techniques. His focus has been on helping people in business and sales, and that's exactly why I knew he'd be the perfect guest to help all of us today in both our daily lives, including our careers. A little about Rory first. He is a senior trainer at Positive Strategies, Inc., where they have had more than 40,000 clients through their programs and is still growing. They know Rory as well as a respected trainer and author. He's trained thousands of independent business people from a wide variety of businesses to structure their business activities, increase their sales, and manage their finances. Rory's unique and effective approach to training has been featured on radio and television. Many articles that Rory has written have been published in magazines and newspapers. Rory Sheehan has also written several books, including the bestsellers, Beyond Conscious Awareness, The Magic of Sales and Marketing Revealed, and Turn on Your Brain for Learning. Rory is a 5-time winner of the prestigious Reader's Choice Award as Trainer of the Year for his success as a professional educator. Welcome, Rory, to today's show. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me on.
That was certainly by chance meeting that we get to connect and do this today, because I have had so many of my friends and clients just in the past week or two really come to me and just say, I'm so frustrated with my own thinking and my brain. I make a decision to do something and, you know, you make a plan or you want to do something, but then they seem to be failing or just not having the success they want. So I happened to run into you on LinkedIn and voila, you are the brain trainer. So this is so exciting. You've had so much experience in this. Can you share with us what even got you involved in the brain training? Because if you're in sales and marketing and business help, what is it about our brains that really helps us with that?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. When I finished my master's degree, I was given opportunity to do some teaching, and most of the teaching were for business people in the area of goal setting. So the classes were very traditional and very structured when it came to setting a goal and defining your why and putting an action plan together. And I enjoyed teaching. The classes were going well. The feedback was very strong. Everybody seemed to enjoy the classes. So I felt that I'd found my life calling as being a teacher, and I was really, really enjoying it. And I guess maybe 6 months or so in, when I started to bump into the graduates from earlier classes, and I very enthusiastically asked them how were things going as far as the goals were going, everybody seemed to have excuses, and nobody seemed to be on track to the goals that they had set. And I took it very personally, because I felt that I was teaching what the literature said you needed to know in order to achieve your goals, but clearly something was missing. So I started exploring non-conventional approaches to achieving results, and that's where I stumbled upon hypnosis. And as soon as I started incorporating the ideas of hypnosis into the classes, the results started to change. Because if somebody sets a goal and they really, really want to achieve it, and they have an excellent action plan written out, and they really want to take the action to achieve that goal, but there's a little voice in the back of their head that says, you don't deserve it, or you're not able to do it, or you're not worthy, they're not going to get the goal. And that little voice will sabotage everything. So I started, and this is probably 25 or so years ago, so I started exploring different approaches and how to do this and how to present it in a way that was socially acceptable at the time. And we started getting really good results and helping people to, you know, recode the way they perceive things so that they could perceive themselves as being worthy to achieve the outcome. So that's how it all came about.
I love that you, first of all, that you say you enthusiastically asked them, because you really had high hopes. You care about these people. You've taught them something, and you're kind of expecting and hoping that they have achieved it. And I was going to ask you, you mentioned the word excuses. This is a tough one for me. I would love to hear what you think about it. What would be the difference between somebody hearing that voice, that self-sabotaging voice, that they're not worth it, or they want to protect themselves because last time they tried it, they got hurt. What is the difference between like an excuse, like just an excuse for doing it, or a real self-sabotaging wiring that's going on?
Well, if you set a goal and you really want to achieve it, anything that interferes with the action that you need to take in order to achieve the goal is self-sabotage or an excuse at some level. And it's gonna manifest itself in different ways. You know, we can rationalize why we're doing things in a certain way or why we're not doing things. The interesting thing is, you watch, you know, ourselves and others, what we do is we test our excuses. And
Ooh.
We figure out excuses that are socially acceptable so that nobody will challenge us. So if I say to you, look, I really do have this great goal, I can't do that now because I have to take care of my kids, or I have to take care of my parents, or there's something I have to do. You're going to be very understanding because it's a socially acceptable excuse, and it gets me off the hook.
Okay, that's fascinating, actually. I actually have written down that I was going to ask about that. What's in our control and what's not? Because you're right, you just said I have to take care of my family, or my job requires me to dedicate this much time, so I don't have all this other time to, you know, take dance lessons the way I want to. And so the socially accepted, really, how much of that is in our control? Like, so if we retrained our brain, those people don't just go away, and the job just doesn't go away. So how would retraining our brain help us to help with that socially accepting excuse thing?
Well, I think to a certain extent, it really is a question of understanding our personal priorities. So we can do an exercise if you're willing to play a little.
Ah, I'd love to, yes.
Okay, so if I ask you, what's the most important thing to you in your life right now, what would you say?
My cats.
Your cats? And yes. Then after your cats, what's most important to you in your life right now?
My health, like my healthy lifestyle of living.
Okay, and we're just going to do it one more time, so we'll do it three times. So after your cats and after your health, what's most important to you in your life right now?
The people in my life, like my loved ones, family, like, yes.
Okay, so if we look at those three as a starting point for our discussion,
okay.
And you came to me and said, you know, my business is struggling, and I really want to start making more money. And I asked you those three questions, now it becomes clear that money's not on your list.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's true.
So,
yes.
So if your cat, if one of your cats was not feeling well, you're going to feel an obligation to take care of your cat rather than do what you need to do in order to generate money.
Yes, absolutely I would. You're right. Oh,
and
goodness, that's
and
funny.
If I said to you, you know, there's an opportunity to go to a networking event this evening, and there's going to be some really important people there that would be good for your business. You might say, you know what, I'd really like to go, but my cats have been alone all day. I have to go and take care of them.
That's exactly what I would say. But I can see what you're saying. So, because that is, yeah, that would be my lifestyle, exactly. And
right.
What, and so you would look at that and say, you want to make more money, or you want to do this, or you want to put more time into your business or anything. However, you've got this conflict of priority.
Well, and then and the interesting thing is that you didn't consciously create those priorities. They just happened subconsciously.
Oh, my goodness, that's right. So, okay, wait a second. Can you explain to us the difference between subconsciously creating something and consciously creating something?
Well, I guess subconsciously is your core. So if you can imagine a hard drive that is blank. It's got nothing on it, but it's got an unlimited capacity. That's essentially your subconscious. Mm-hmm. And from the time you're born, your environment is what puts the information on that hard drive. So your parents, your family, your friends, the TV shows you watch, the people you interact with, your teachers, they start putting things on that hard drive. And then around the age of 7, you start to develop a conscious mind, which is really your thinking mind. Mm-hmm. And then after that, what happens is somebody will present something to you, and you're consciously going to go into the subconscious and say, does that make sense, yes or no? If it does, you continue. If it doesn't, you stop. So if you can imagine a five-year-old being told by somebody, the most important thing in the world is that you take good care of your cats. That's the most important thing you can do because you're responsible. And the five-year-old accepts that as truth. And then later on, they place their cats at the top of their priority list, and they're not even really clear why. Mm-hmm. It's just because somebody taught them that when they were very young, and they accepted it as truth. So then somebody else comes along and says, well, you know, I think you've got to start looking at making more money. And the literally the adult individual goes back to that five-year-old child and says, no, I can't do that. I have to take care of my cats. And now there's a conflict between the conscious and subconscious, because consciously they're saying, I have to do this. I know what I need to do in order to make money.
Oh, when we get back from commercial, we are going to continue that between the conscious and subconscious, the conflict.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And we are back here with Rory Sheehan. It's so interesting talking about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind and how we can retrain this so that we can get past these distractions and interferences and have what we want. We left off, and I just picked up when you were talking to us, Rory, about the subconscious mind being our core. And I heard what you said about that's something where we put the accepted as truth. And as the subconscious, the conscious mind being that thinking mind. I want to ask you something just because I heard the commercial, Humanity Healing just had their commercial on, and they said this is not an overnight solution. May I ask you, with hypnotherapy, is it an overnight solution? Is it that simple and easy to retrain and go from subconscious to conscious?
No.
Okay.
I wish it was. You know, you could wave a magic wand and everybody's problems would disappear. But, you know, if you're, you know, 40 years old and you've got 40 years of conditioning, you know, expecting somebody to be able to reprogram that undesirable conditioning in an hour doesn't make sense to me. If you have a computer program that's running on your computer at home and it's not working properly, it's going to take hours for a professional programmer to fix it and sort it out. It's no different with a hypnotherapist. I think that people misunderstand that a hypnotherapist can wave their watch in front of you and all of a sudden your life changes. And I wish that was the case, but that's not my experience.
Right. Yes, it's got some time. Now, you talked about the conditioning, and that's what we're kind of talking about when people are literally, let's talk about the making, acquiring money, making money, doing that kind of, because your strength has been with people in business and achieving, that sales mark. What is it you encounter the most when you go to a business and you're sitting down and how are you able to identify their problem or they might not have been able to, and then what do you do to help them get through that?
Well, I wish it was just one thing. Usually it's multiple things. One nice starting point is to ask the questions like you and I were just chatting about before the break. If I ask somebody, what's most important to you in your life right now, and we go through a list and money's not on that list, then they're going to have some challenges around money. Likewise, if I say to you, what's most important to you in your life right now, and you say, number one is money, number two is my business, number three are my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if somebody says that, do you think they're going to go to their child's piano recital tonight?
Right.
They're not, because that's not their priority. So the first step is to be aware of that, and then we can start looking at how we can change those priorities so that they're more in line with what you really want. See, unfortunately for us, a lot of people believe that we've created our priorities, when in reality they have been created by others that have influenced our thinking and our subconscious, so that we believe there are our own ideas, but they were really created by others. So if you believe, for example, that you do not deserve to be rich for whatever reason, you didn't make that conscious decision. Somebody said when you were little that money is the root of all evil, and you believe that, and you took ownership of that, and then for your entire life, you're doing things to avoid taking on money. You see it a lot with people that want to have their own business. And I've done this little survey over the years, and if you can imagine me standing in front of a group of, 100 or 1,000 people who are entrepreneurs, they want to work for themselves, or they currently do work for themselves. So I ask the question by show of hands, how many of you currently work for yourself or hope to work for yourselves? And of course, every hand in the room goes up. And the next question is, how many of you are comfortable with the idea of 100% commission sales? And maybe 30% of the hands will go up. So my final question is, who can explain to me the difference between working for yourself and being 100% commission sales?
Oh, my goodness. That's such a good way of rewording that, because that's by definition of it. Okay, that's good.
Well, but see, the thing is that if I ask you, if you're comfortable role-playing, we can do this together. But if I ask you, when you think of a commission salesperson, what's the first thought that comes to mind?
Well, see, first of all, I would have put my hand up in that 30%. I am comfortable with that. And so I would assume 100% commission-based means there's, the security is not given by somebody else. I have to create the security.
Okay, so if I ask you, just first thought that comes to mind, when you think of a 100% commission salesperson, what's the first thought that comes to mind?
Sales. Feast or famine.
Okay, feast or famine, okay. So and what else, when you think of describing a 100% commission salesperson, what do you think about their level of integrity?
Oh, well, so for me, because this would be my own personal thing, I think that they're going to have to be really committed to work and working, consistently and a lot. And
would you say that they're honest, or they might stress it too?
I'll say, no, I can see where you're probably encountering a lot. I'm going to think differently because I would only do it very integrally, but I can see where a lot of people might think, yes, if they're commission-based, they might resort to, leading some customer down a path that might not be as integral.
Right. So now if somebody says that when I think of a commission salesperson, I think of somebody who's aggressive, who's dishonest, and who's only interested in themselves.
Right. Yeah.
How are they going to close that business? Because they don't want the prospect that they're talking with to perceive them as a commissioned salesperson simply because of the definition that they have for commissioned sales.
Yes.
So what happens then, and you may have seen this in your line of work, where somebody will do a fantastic presentation. They will explain everything that they need to explain to demonstrate the benefits of doing business with them. They will answer all the prospect's questions. And then right at the end, when it comes time to asking for the business, because they're so afraid of being perceived as a commissioned salesperson,
yes,
they will say, "So if you have any questions, just give me a call." And then the conversation ends. Because they have a definition in their subconscious that a commissioned salesperson is not honest, is aggressive, and they don't want to be perceived that way by anybody. So they do the exact opposite, and then they don't get the business.
So I wonder if that right there, using that analogy, whatever we might notice in our own lives, you know, in any area that we shy away from or are not confident in, let's say, that could be an area that's just misaligned. Is like our brain is kind of going, I want to do this, but I think this and I believe that, and who knows? Is that
right? Yeah, exactly. So if you have a definition, and please understand that each one of us have millions and millions of these definitions inside of us right now. Some are serving us well and some aren't. But those definitions were all created by somebody else. They weren't created by us. So if I ask you, for example, what's the most important emotion for you to feel? What would you say?
Comfort.
And then if I wanted to find your definition for comfort, I would just ask, in order for you to feel comfort, what has to happen?
Oh, goodness. I myself don't feel pushed and I don't feel invaded space wise Does that make sense?
But see, the thing is, again, please understand that your definition for comfort is unique to you.
Right.
And somebody else created it in your head. You did not create it. So if you say, the most important feeling for me to feel is comfort, and in order for me to feel comfort, I can't be pushed.
Right.
And then I come along and I say, look, I think you're really capable of achieving this level of income. And I think that you need to do this as your plan of action. If I say anything that you in any way perceive yourself as being pushed,
yes,
then we've got a problem.
Yes. And you're right, because right now, even hearing you say that, just on the level of just even using comfort, and it doesn't even matter if it was about money or if it was about anything, would get my back up. You're so right. I'd be like, don't push me.
And see, what you, in this example, you're perceiving as pushing, which based on your definition, prevents you from feeling comfort, which is the most important feeling for you to feel. Now we've got a spiral going in the wrong direction.
Right. Oh, that's
with
so interesting.
My side of the equation, I'm trying to encourage, because it's so important for me to encourage you to achieve your best potential.
Right.
You see how there's a conflict now.
I really do see that conflict. Funny, because as a life coach, just not even using any other reason, I can see when my clients, even if they feel they do not deserve something, and I were just a flat out, you know, backwards response and say, you do deserve it, they're going to fight me and saying, no, I don't. And so this is where you go, okay, you've identified something and you go, okay, we've got to go in here. We've got to go in and retrain the brain.
Exactly. So I think the important thing here is to understand that the definition that you have was created by somebody else.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So then you have to ask yourself, is this definition serving me in a positive way? If it is, then great. Hang on to it. If it's not, then we have to look at a way to change that definition. And we can do it on the flip side as well. If I were to ask you, what's the worst possible emotion for you to feel? What would you say?
Well, I would have to say discomfort, because comfort's important to me, but I guess feeling taken advantage of, let's say.
Okay, and in order for you to feel taken advantage of, what has to happen?
Somebody would have to have been dishonest or unfair or a flat-out lie to me.
Okay, so let's just take that a little step further if we can.
Yes.
How do you know somebody's been unfair to you?
Oh, I don't know. Oh my goodness, how would I know?
So just pretend you know.
I would probably have to have witnessed something, maybe them doing something different to somebody else, that I would say, hey, you didn't do that to me or for me or something.
Okay, so if they're treating somebody differently than they're treating you.
Right.
Okay, so now can you see the dilemma that's happening? The worst possible feeling for you to feel, it's very easy for you to feel in business.
Yeah.
So now what happens is that you can start getting very upset with people because you perceive them as treating others differently than they're treating you.
Right.
And now it's gonna interfere with relationships that you need in order to build your business. And then on the other side, somebody that really wants to help you starts to encourage you, and they push you out of your comfort zone, and now you don't rely on them for support. So now we have some challenges that we have to overcome in order to make your business grow.
My goodness, you must have had to do so much investigative work when you're dealing with literally, like you said, there's millions of reasons why everybody has their own reason, definition. And
right.
That's incredible that you can even, like right now I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness, there's like on both ends, I'm feeling, you can feel that. How does one know when, sorry, I love the question. We are going to go to commercial in just less than a minute here, but if we don't spit this out, we'll come back to it. Oh, there it is, right there. So when we do come back, this is a really cool question about definitions.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Here talking with Rory Sheehan about how the brain works and these conscious and subconscious definitions that we create in our mind, that we've adopted. And Rory, I want to just, before we went to commercial here, talking about that the definition, I was going to ask you, have you ever, out of all the people that you've helped and trained, have you ever encountered people who have, once you've identified that this definition is not serving them, do they ever fear letting that go, or are they really excited to let it go because they want to reach that goal?
Oh no, almost everybody's afraid to let it go. They'll say, no, I want to let it go, and I know I have to do this, but at some level you've got that conflict now that exists between the conscious and subconscious, where the subconscious is saying no. I guess the best way to describe the subconscious is if you can imagine a five-year-old child, and the conscious is the adult trying to deal with the five-year-old child, and the five-year-old is just looking at different ways to get its own way. And,
right.
You know, it's had, for most of us, the five-year-old has had its own way for our lifetime, and then all of a sudden we say, no, that's not what I want. The five-year-old says, well, you know, that's all, it's always been that way. I'm quite comfortable with this. And it does whatever it can do to keep you in that comfort zone so that you're not going to expand and you're not going to explore those other opportunities. And when you start to step out of that comfort zone, it's going to make you feel really uncomfortable. And the five-year-old is going to work really hard to sabotage things to bring you back to where it feels comfortable. So, yeah, absolutely. When you work through these changes, it does take effort.
Okay, well, thank you, first of all, for acknowledging that, because I was actually on the commercial, I was like, oh, my gosh, now I'm kind of afraid of letting go of what I'm feeling. but for all the listeners there right now that have, they've at least identified something that, a goal that, or something they just really want. They want experience, they want to have, like whether it's career, whether it's money, whether it's relationship. And they seem to have recognized that, yes, I keep failing, I'm not reaching this, not doing this. So they do at least, they've come to a point where they said there is a belief. How would they go about now? Do they, actually, you know what I should ask? If they were saying, you know what, maybe hypnotherapy is for me, what would happen if they were to find someone such as yourself or someone else to have them like help with hypnotherapy? What does that involve? What happens?
Well, I guess the first step is understanding that they need to seek out resources. And then, you know, like I tell people that I work with, whenever you're doing that, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Remember, you're hiring an employee. So you know, do your due diligence and check them out and, you know, make sure that they've got the specific skill set. Somebody says that they're a hypnotherapist, it doesn't mean they have the expertise to deal with the particular area that you want to deal with. So somebody says, the fun one is if somebody says to you that they're going to help you with their health and their personal health is a mess, you're not going to go to them.
Right.
Right. Same thing with going to somebody that says they'll help you make money. If they're not making money, then, you know, there's something wrong with their system because, you know, if their system was valid, then they'd be using it themselves in order to make money for themselves. So actively seek out somebody who has the right skill set and there's a good connection between you and them. And, you know, the stuff we're talking about right now as far as definition goes, I think that that's probably the best place to start. If I asked you, I don't know if you're comfortable sharing a particular goal right now, but if there's a particular goal that you want to achieve that you seem to be struggling with, we can work through it if you like.
Oh, wow, right on air. Okay, yes, let me do this because I like to be open with all listeners. You know, these are the hardest things that we go through. I know for everybody who does listen to the show, I have talked about my cats a lot. So here's a great goal. I'm actually honestly freaking out of my brain. I have an opportunity coming up that I could be flying off to, let's say, Thailand. And two things, I don't want to be uncomfortable. So I kind of, you know, I don't know if I want to fly away. And I don't want to leave my pets. I don't want to leave my cats. It actually makes me upset to think about it. So there's something without going to do this, this is a career opportunity. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'm actually going to self-sabotage, literally, my own career for that comfort and for the animals.
Right. So then what we have to do is we have to show you how you can achieve both.
Okay.
So let's go through just as an example. I don't know if you really were given an opportunity to speak in Thailand, but let's just use that as an example. So here's an opportunity for you to speak in Thailand. You've got it, an opportunity to get your career off at a whole other level, but there's this hesitation. So the first step would be to acknowledge the hesitation and then say, okay, so what do we have to do to overcome that? Well, first we've got to find somebody that we trust that's going to make sure that our cats are safe. Because if we don't do that, then we're going to figure out a way to get out of this trip. And we're not going to say to anybody involved, we can't go because of our cats, because that's not socially acceptable.
Yes, so, I've heard that one.
So we're going to come up with something, even if it means worrying ourselves sick so that we can say, I'm sorry, I can't go because I'm sick. We're going to come up with something so that we have a socially acceptable excuse. So the first thing to be, what we'd have to do is we'd have to make sure that we had somebody here that we could trust, that we know with certainty our cats would be safe. So you don't have to say who it is, but But if you have that person, then that's step one.
And I would like to just share with all the listeners out there, this is also to the level of your children as well. Like, I might say cats in my world, but I know a lot of moms, you know, or fathers
or
will
dads,
say the same. Yes, I didn't want to let anybody who isn't a pet owner or pet lover out there, I don't want them to feel that this exercise couldn't benefit them too. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah,
okay.
The other thing, so, you know, an aging parent, a child, you know, there's lots of things that would prevent you from making that career decision because of your priorities, those three things that we've identified as you as being your core priorities. So unless we deal with these three things, you're not going on a trip. So we have to figure out how to deal with it. So now let's pretend we found somebody. We have a family member that we trust who has the same passion for cats that we have, and they know your cat, and they're willing to take care of your cats for the time that you're away, and you feel safe with this.
Okay.
If that's okay, then we have to go on to the next one. In your case, it was health.
Lifestyle. Yes, lifestyle health, yes.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Do,
yeah.
Right, it is. And what we, not as huge as cats, but it is huge.
Yes.
So what we have to do now is we have to say, okay, so while we're there, we want to make sure that our diet's okay. So, if we're there for a week, let's say, we want to make sure that we have access to the foods that we want. We're going to bring in the appropriate vitamins that we want to bring. If we're using some sort of blender, do we have access to one there? Do we have to bring one? Is the current on the same, electricity in the same current? We have to be able to answer those questions. Once we can answer those questions, then the decision to go becomes much more manageable. Are you with me?
Right. Yes. Now, what happens if some of the answers you can't control? Like, I really hate being hot and sweating because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't change the temperature. Like, what if somebody's really coming up to, not just in my scenario, but any other scenario that I, well, maybe that's just my belief. Maybe by definition, I believe I can't control these things.
Well, I think that, you know, there's certain things you just can't control. That's right.
But right.
What we want to do is we want to focus on the outcome that you want. And make sure that there's a connection there with what's most important to you. So if I told you that I wanted you to speak at a convention that was for very health-minded people who have a passion for cats and they work with a shelter in order to find homes for cats, you're going to love that.
Yeah, I already just want to go there right now.
Right, you see what I mean? So what I want to do is I want to find a way to help you experience what's most important to you while at the same time achieving your goal. So for example, now that we've been able to find a family member that's going to take care of your cats, we've been able to make sure that you're going to have the appropriate diet. There's going to be exercise facilities there, so you're going to be okay as far as the health goes. And if this conference that you're speaking at has to do with alternative health practices, and there's going to be a lot of really important people there, they're always looking for speakers and trainers and coaches that are going to help you grow your business. And the good thing about that is that most of the contacts that you will make at this one meeting will allow you to build your business online so that you can do it over the internet. And you won't have to leave home and you won't have to leave your cats after this week. You see, all of a sudden it just changes the whole perspective because we found a way to make that experience of going to Thailand fit in with what truly is most important to you. Are you with me?
Right. So you're literally, as opposed to like thinking, waking up every day thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to leave my cats. I'm going to have to, like, all these negative things. Because I'm literally wiring my brain even stronger and stronger the more I think of that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No. So we want to walk ourselves through solving, or how would you word that, like aligning to the positive of it?
Well, once we recognize what it is based on these definitions that is contributing to the sabotage, now we can at least start working with it because we know we've identified the demon that is going to interfere. So now we have to figure it out. So we have to look at solutions, and we start looking at solutions and the pros and cons of each solution. Until we figure out one that works well for us in our lifestyle.
Now, when you talk, say, about we've identified those top three things, you know, that for me, you know, make my life happy, and anybody else has just confirmed this or, you know, identified them. Is there something that, is it, which is more powerful, let's use this word, to rewiring the brain? Is it the, how often we think about the positive outcome, or how long, like how many days? Is it 3 weeks, the magic number 21 days, you think about this great thing and then you've rewired it? Or is it the value, the priority that means to you, or do they all come together?
I don't think it's necessarily time. I think it's more about the emotion associated with it.
Okay.
If I say to you, I want you to leave your cats for a week, and the emotion is so strong about not leaving, you're not going to go.
Right.
So whereas if I can get you really, really excited and then deal with the fact that we have a family and let's go and take care of your cats, so the emotion of going is way stronger than the concern for the cats, then you'll go. So I tell my clients, strongest emotion always wins. So what we want to do is we want to address the negative emotion, the concerns you have about leaving your cats, and increase the positive emotion about going to Thailand. Strongest emotion will always win.
Right. And that's why, it's like communication and conversation to anybody, you know, to somebody that can listen to you and hear you to help you pinpoint. So when you're doing a session, and I don't know if it's called, is it called, do you just sit down and call it a hypnotherapy session, or are you're coaching at the same time before you even use hypnotherapy?
I've been doing this. I just call myself a consultant. I've been doing it so long. When I started doing this, there was no such thing as coaches. So.
Right. Actually, we're going to end up going to commercial in just a second here. When we come back, I do want to hear how you started that, because the hypnotherapy and the coaching aspect is huge on how people can get results. So when we come back, let's talk about that.
Great. Thank you.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
We're back with Rory Sheehan. Rory, I am so excited that literally you're sharing with people how we can take these things that come up in our lives that we're just struggling with and to let us know that there is a way of getting past it, of getting there. And you were going to just share with us about how you did, you know, start into from counseling to using different techniques. And if you could continue sharing that, that would be great to see how people see how you stepped into this.
Well, okay, so just for definition purposes, I'm not a counselor. So what I do is I teach people techniques that have proven effective for other people and then teach them how to use them themselves. So the objective is to empower them to rely on themselves rather than rely on anybody else. So over the course of the last hour, you and I have talked about a couple of different approaches. So what I would do with clients is teach them approaches like this so that they can use them in all aspects of their life. We generally, you know, with my clients, we generally look at it in the context of business, largely because that's my background. Mm-hmm. And I find it very easy to measure because afterwards you're either making more money or you're not. So we've got a nice, easy measuring tool built in. But these things can be used in relationships. They can be used in health. They can be used in any aspect of your life. It's the same process. We all have definitions. If I were to ask you, you know, what's most important to you in a relationship, and you describe that and gave me a definition, if your partner's not meeting that, then there's going to be conflict. And you might not even be consciously aware of what's most important to you and the definition, and your partner certainly wouldn't be. So now it's all trial and error, hoping to, you know, bump into something that's going to make you feel like the relationship has got value. So these are skills you can use in all aspects of your life. The counseling model tends to discuss things a little bit more, and I prefer to focus on techniques that will allow you to reprogram your mind so that you can take control of your life.
Right. Now, I feel like these have been techniques. Like right now, I want, you know, at the end of the show, I'm going to be going through my own questioning, going, okay, what's most important to me? And I hope that other people are too. What could you share with us? Because we are in our last little segment. And is there a technique besides ones we have, I feel that we've been talking about, that you would like to share with us?
Well, I think the one, and we kind of touched on it earlier, I think the one that's probably the most important is to do with the most important positive emotion for you to feel. And generally, when somebody identifies that, the definition that they pick is usually a limiting definition.
A limiting?
Yes. So it's very difficult for them to experience.
Oh.
Whereas the definition for the worst possible feeling is generally very easy for them to experience. So what we want to do is we want to make it as easy as possible for ourselves to experience the positive emotions, and as difficult as possible for us to experience the negative. And then it's much easier to take on the day. So we talked about comfort earlier. We'll pick a different example. So other than comfort, what's the most important positive emotion for you to feel?
I would say joy, but like happiness, like just elated at happiness, yeah.
So let's go with joy, because that was the first one you said. And in order for you to feel joy, what has to happen?
The people around me have to be taken, well, including Cass, have to be taken care of. I have to be comfortable. Just no conflict going on. Yeah.
So we have this as an example. So we'll go with the first thing you said, the people around me have to be taken care of.
Yes.
So in order for you to feel the most important positive emotion of joy, you have to recognize that people are taken care of. So you see how somebody that wants to manipulate you could very easily control your behavior.
Aha, yes, I do. I knew that too.
there you go, because of the definition. And you see how that you could really miss out on a lot of very important career opportunities because the people around you become dependent and rely on you more than they really should. They should be relying on themselves because they know that you need to feel that they're taken care of.
Right. And that's interesting. It's interesting. You said earlier during the show, like, we didn't create that. We were perhaps taught that, because I did grow up with a sick mom. And so it was very, I watched my dad, you know, it was very important that my dad took care of my mom before anything.
Right. And that's where the conditioning started. So now we have a definition that is completely outsourced, right? So your definition for joy is really outside. Now if you're at home and, you're working on, let's say you're writing a book or something. And after doing that for, I don't know, let's say a full day or 2 days, you're not going to have felt joy for that length of time because you haven't been able to make sure that other people are okay. So you're going to go racing to your cats to make, oh, you guys okay? Is everything good?
I do that. I see. Oh, I can actually see where, because at first I would feel like the joy would come because I actually struggle to make sure everything's okay so I can sit down and do my own thing. But I can't do my own thing until I have experienced that. But you're right. Once I actually do sit down to do it, I suddenly have to get up to check on the cats. So funny you said that.
So what we need to do is we need to change so that you can feel joy whenever you choose.
Ah.
So
okay.
So if you could imagine, I don't know, I'm making something up just for the sake of example because of timing.
Right, yes.
But if you could imagine in your mind you playing with your cats, and that allows you, just that imagination allows you to feel joy.
Yes, it does, yes.
Then you can feel joy at any moment of any day just by using your imagination.
Right. Okay. And focusing on the positive aspect as opposed to the negative, like, oh my goodness, the cats need to see me. They don't. I can see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So yeah. So now what we're doing is we're working in the direction of changing your definition so that you can experience joy, the most important emotion for you to feel, whenever you choose to feel that. You're not dependent on anybody else.
Right.
This external, it's all inside you. And then the flip side, and I'm rushing a little because of timing, the flip side is the worst possible feeling for you to feel. Now, earlier you had mentioned about, you know, when somebody's not treating you fairly. So other than that, just if you just pick a specific emotion.
Easily enough, just carrying along with this example, the worst feeling to think is that somebody does need me and I can't get there. I can't help them.
Okay, so if that's the case, then you can see how vulnerable you are to being controlled by somebody else, by them just saying, I need you to come right now, and you'll stop what you're doing. So
right.
So your life is secondary now. And,
gotcha.
And the more people that you have in your life, your life would be, you know, maybe 5th or 10th or 20th down the list, because now you've got a long list of people that don't want to deal with things on their own. And, you know, can you do me a favor? I just need my laundry picked up. Can you do this? I need the kids picked up. I can't do it. And as an independent business person, you're never going to get anything done.
Right. That's so interesting. And you know what? And one, I now recognize that. So I recognized it about 4 years ago, and I kind of switched my life around. However, interesting you said that, because I would have 4 years ago said, everybody else is interfering in my life. It's not me. They have to have me. So I can see how we're going to call it self-sabotage, because it's based on my own belief. So all the listeners there, I know it's a hard thing to say. It's our own faults, kind of. Not our faults, but it's our own excuse, our own perceptions. And diving into this to find out why we aren't achieving or experiencing or reaching what we truly want is our own choice and responsibility.
Well, I think that there's a level of responsibility, but unfortunately, it's not necessarily our choice, because those beliefs were put in there by other people. So
okay.
We have to recognize what's limiting us, acknowledge that we didn't create them in the first place, so we have to make an effort to change the belief and the definition of that belief so that it's more in line with achieving the outcome that we want.
You know what, this goes to, and when you talked at the very beginning of the show, you said about goal setting. And working backwards, that's the perfect place, is that if we are not clear of the goals that we want to achieve or reach, we can't even go all the exercises that you just mentioned. So goal setting, if we were to close off here, because we do still have two or three more minutes, if somebody wants to do goal setting, would they just sit down and say, this is what I want in life? Or how would they know that's even theirs and not what somebody else has wanted for them?
Well, it's fine. They can start wherever they want to start. I think the important thing about goal setting is to start experiencing some successes, because we've conditioned that five-year-old subconscious mind that we say all these things and never follow through anyways. So our subconscious is not willing to work with us because it doesn't believe that we're serious about it. So pick a goal that you want to achieve today, something that's manageable, then make a huge fuss having achieved it, and then your subconscious will start the process of buying in that when you say you want something, your subconscious will work with you and stop the sabotage. So, you know, you spent 40 years teaching your subconscious that you say these things and don't mean it. Now we've got to recondition the subconscious so that when you say you want to achieve something, you're serious about it, then you make a big fuss, you get emotionally engaged, and now the subconscious starts to buy in, because that's your feeling mind. And then as you start increasing the size of the goal, there's a greater likelihood that the subconscious will then buy in and help you achieve it. You know, if somebody comes to me and says, I want to make $1 million a year, but they've never made more than $10 an hour, it's too big of a step.
Right.
They've got to convince themselves that they can achieve certain goals in order to get some momentum towards achieving those higher numbers.
I love that. I'm picking up emotionally engaged and momentum from you. And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, where can they reach you? And they can, you know, whatever road they decide to take with you, I would love for anybody to work with you. But where could they reach you and get in touch?
Positivestrategies.com is the website. Or they can go to RoriSheehan.com, just my name.com. Okay. Both are taken to the same place. But positivestrategies.com is the easiest way to get in touch with me. There's some, you know, I like to think there's some interesting things there, and we're always adding new things to the website so they can get on the mailing list and we can keep them up to date with what we're doing.
Yes, and there's you get a copy of a book, actually, when you sign up on your list. I was going around there. It's a great site to visit. You're right, lots of good stuff. I want to thank you before we just close off here. Thank you so much for, first of all, personally helping me. And secondly, I hope that the listeners really got a lot from that and to understand that we can do so much. There's always change that's possible, positive change.
Yes. With positive strategies. That's right.
Positive strategies. Oh, goodness. That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rory. We welcome you, and we look forward to having you again as a guest. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.